almost 24 years he's walked with that name. When an angel finally came and said to him, it's time to change your name and circumcise all the males of your household, including yourself. And when he changed his name to Abraham, now understand what that must mean. People calling him or talking to him, my name is Abraham. You have to keep correcting them because you've got to reprogram yourself after 99 years with a different name. And so he had, it was speaking it out. The moment he changed his name, 3 months later his wife was pregnant.
Wow.
I'm convinced that he changed his name when he was younger, or when they first got the promise, they would have had a child. In my trip down Israel, this park in Caesarea Philippi, I was telling the pastor how fascinating it was to me that if you leave Capernaum, if you go along the river Jordan, which feeds in there from the snow-capped mountains, once or twice a year, and it comes down, and it's not very deep or big river, but it floods in the sides and causes real marsh-type land. And when the Jews came back to Israel in 1948, they tried to purchase the land from the Palestinians and the Turks and such like. And there was, this land is peace from Capernaum right to the border. Nobody wanted it. It was so unproductive. It was just a bad piece of land, and they got it for inexpensive. And since 48, so now they've tried so many times to make it work, these different towns along the way, and nothing was always desolate, always a struggle to make life and ends meet. Only when they changed all the different towns' names, from the names that were there, only then did God change things for them. They planted eucalyptus trees and dried up the marsh, and if you go drive there now, it is 100 miles after another of the most prosperous trees, plants, and vineyards, and vegetables, and it's become the most fertile area in Israel, besides the River Jordan going down to the Dead Sea, which is where they plant a lot too. But this is, and because but they changed their name first. Names are very, very important to the Lord. In Revelation it says we'll have new names in heaven. Your name is important, so whatever name you are given will symbolize and speak it over you. Often you'll find, whatever your name means, your character kind of shapes around it. It's the strangest thing, how your name will influence your life. So be careful when you name your children, or understand your name, and don't try and change it. Don't call yourself something else when your name means something else. You pay attention to your name. I believe, and I prophesied apparently some time ago, a year ago, I prophesied to the pastor that this church would change its name. And the reason I'm only a messenger. I'm not God. I don't sit with God and debate these things. I'm just a messenger. But I have some understanding that you're going to a new phase. And I can clearly tell you, this is the most, all the history of this church, the most exciting, most prosperous, most amazing and fruitful time this church has ever had. Ever. People are going to get saved from every which way. Everything's going to fall into place. This building is only an outward expression or symbol of something new about to happen. And so you either have a new church, then a new identity, new everything, brand new and fresh. And you need to embrace that, because if you're part of this family, and this is what we are, we're a family, then you need to be committed, because we started a wonderful journey, and God's watching how faithful you are with little things. Now let me tell you, God can pour heaven from heaven, money from heaven like that. He can cause one man to raise up and pay it all. But it's not the rival that God ever was aiming at, but the actual journey. To participate in getting that building together, watching each man's heart and commitment. When we came here, we came with nothing, we leave, we take nothing, and it's how we handle what God gives us on this planet. And everything that we have around us, God rewards us according to what we do, Scripture says. That's what Scripture says, He rewards us. So I want to encourage you to take it very seriously. Whatever God's speaking to you, and however God opens doors, because He's going to open doors for you supernaturally, financially. He's watching if you'll be faithful with it.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Don't get too excited now. Take it down a notch. Exciting church, my goodness. He says to him, the gates of hell will not overcome it. I believe when then he took spiritual authority over the gates of hell. But verse 19 says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom in heaven. If you're buying an earth, you're bound in heaven. We have authority. We have authority, and it's not a small thing, the position of the church. You know, when God promised the Israelites, I'm taking you to a land of milk and honey, they had to leave Egypt. They didn't just go there. Unfortunately, or fortunately, the land that God promised them is occupied. I'm thinking, God, you couldn't find a piece of land that was empty? I mean, there was no one here 6,000 years ago, and you couldn't get a piece of land that would have been workable, and you couldn't pick one that was at least worth a fair exchange. There had to be enormous, genetically engineered, hormonally induced people that were so big, you couldn't give someone at least their own height to fight. What's with that? Why make everything so hard? They have to go through a desert, they have to fight, walls must come down, and one jolly group after another, there's always one fight, next fight. Because when God gives you a promise, the devil doesn't stand by and watch. And he did that to make his people strong. Because you are training here for reigning there with him. This life is short, like this. But eternity is very real, very real. And none of you are here because you have nowhere else to go this morning. You are here because God actually wanted you here. Amen. He orchestrated, he picked you. With all your messed upness, he picked you. God chooses who you'll choose. You didn't choose him, he chose you.
Amen.
And hear what I'm saying. So you're part of this wonderful, exciting journey that God has for you. Your pastor has faith. He's a crazy man. He'll believe God for the most amazing things, and God will back him. He always has done it. He will do it again. I'm convinced of it. Hearing that about how he prayed and spoke over that person's house, if you're going to struggle to sell the house, just, I don't get over that person. Say, do it for me, come on now. Yeah. So then he orders his disciples to tell no one he's the Messiah, because it was just caused a lot of difficulty. Now pay attention, this is the part I'm going to, and that's very important. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and the third day he raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to him in verse 23 and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. From being a man that had a revelation from God that he's the Son of God, that's a major revelation, to suddenly now a man who has not the things of God's heart. It is frightening that you can have revelation and yet still be so calm. It's frightening that you can be following Jesus and not grasp the bigger picture. There's a much bigger picture in motion than just I, me, and myself. There's a much bigger picture than all the troubles I go through. Nothing you've gone through, not your divorce, not your sickness, not the death of your family member, not the loss of your job, nothing took God by surprise. He knew before you started, he knew the end already of your journey, all the things you're going to go through. And he's watching how you handle every situation, because he promises you, he's there for you. All you're going to do is to call upon him. You've got to call upon him. Do you hear what I'm saying? God loves you so much. He's a good God. People want to debate why stuff happens. If you're good, then God's going to bless you. Bad, then you're going to trouble. This is not true. Since Jesus died on the cross, he put his blood on the mercy seat. And we're living in a dispensation of enormous grace and goodness of God. There are things that we sow and reap. All of us sow and reap. There's no question. We all have seeds out there. Let me tell you, seed sowing is extremely vital to your life. You don't have to get Christian to reap the seeds you're sowing. Here in Florida, they have some of these bridges that you fly kind of high up in the sky, and you drive that bridge, and there's these huge, tall weeds growing out of the crack of the side of that bridge. No one planted it there, no one watered it, yet it grows. It seems to me bad seed grows anyway. Good seed, you've got to pick the seed carefully, choose it, find the right soil, nurture the soil, get the soil ready, put it in, nurture it, watch it, keep praying it, bring it through to get the right harvest. But the bad things you say and do, they come back to you in a hurry, without any effort. That's why you've got to be very selective with your seed and watch it. We Americans are cultured in certain ways. One of our cultures is tipping. There's not a country in the world that tips the way we do. Not a country in the world. Unfortunately, the tip mentality spills over to God. When the basket goes around, I'll give what I 20 bucks, I can do something, I can afford to do that. And please understand, coming from a Jew, so I'm Jewish, it's very holy. I'm from a Jewish family. It's very holy to God, giving to God. God doesn't need your money, but He watches where your heart is. Because if you're not faithful with ungodly mammon, money which He gave you in the first place, how are you faithful with spiritual riches? And when you bring your offering to God, we never take offerings, never. We receive them. We receive them, we are God's agents to receive in all awe of the Lord. Because what you bring to the Lord, like your worship and your praise, because He's looking for worshipers.
Yes. That's right.
When you bring your offering, it's not a small thing, it's not trying to get money out of you. Because God can raise His money. I've seen God do amazing. I can tell you many things about how God supplying finances for churches. But He's watching this for your benefit. Paul says, I long to be there for your benefit. I receive this for your benefit, that they may be accredited to your account. It's very, very real. Jesus said to His disciples, as Peter said to Him, we've given up everything for you. And that's what He said. And Jesus said, well, let me tell you the truth. No one's given up anything for me or the gospel. They won't receive the same in a hundredfold. In Mark 9, a hundredfold return with persecutions. Why do we have persecutions? Because the moment God places a prosper you, someone's going to complain.
That's right.
If you're prosperous, you drive a nice car, you dress well, you have a good job, a good house, somebody's going to be jealous and upset. I'm of the friend of mine, oh Lord, don't let it bother you, it's not bothering me, they're going to be upset, just keep it coming. You're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't. I'm not going to be poor just to make them happy. Not happening. In fact, your Savior, who you believe give you eternal life, said that the poor will always be among you, never some of you. The poor are among you so you can minister to them, and if you don't have, you can't give. But quiet in this place. We Americans have been sucked into a web of the devil to go to credit. We get credit cards in the mail we didn't ask for. Spend money we don't have on things we didn't need. And then we think we're going to pay the credit card off and we have this high interest rate. And then when it comes to giving to God, which is the one place in your life you have absolute guarantee to come back to you hundredfold. What investment can you do there? Otherwise, God's not real and God lies. You wouldn't be here if you believed that. So the one place you struggle to give because you're servicing the credit card so violently, giving large portions of your money to the credit card people. You're quiet in this place now. They will lure you into that and keep you bound to that. You can get all the... If I took all the credit card debt in this room, I'd build two brand new churches.
Yeah.
Cash. Because that's how the devil's got you now. The best way out of that is to obey God and do what God says.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you, I'm doing this because I really care. Because I know it works. I'm a living testimony. It works. I don't know what God's going to do for me from day to day. I never know what's going to be next. I never know. I live by faith for many, many years now. Not by ends. I don't get people to support me. I don't have partners. I don't do any of that. I trust the Lord. And God's always come through for me. Always. I go to countries that are very poor. They can't give me they can't pay my plane ticket. I'll do whatever the Lord says, and He's never failed me. I'm a living testimony that God's not broke. If He does it for me, He'll do it for you. So I want you to change your minds this morning about those things. Now, Paul, Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He's talking to the devil, because the devil will use people that are spiritual one moment, but so carnal the next. And this house that we are building, this church that we are building in that street, the location is phenomenal. Because we're going to be impactful. That whole area won't take long before people start knowing about that church. And even the name of the church will speak loud. And so it's very important that all these things you understand, that we're going into an exciting time. You've got to trust God to lead, to keep leading us and show us what to do, because we're going to touch the community. There are a lot of unchurched people, but there are also people that don't know the Lord. There are broken homes. Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free. He's come to repair. He said to Peter, I will give you the keys. One of the keys, if we have a building, we have the tools to do the job, we have keys to set people free. Pastors cannot agree not to administer the people that are drug addicts. He cannot agree to that because that's the keys of heaven and hell. We have to. Yeah. We have the power to set them free. We bind on earth, we can be bound in heaven. We loose, we loose from heaven. That's scripture. That's our job.
Yeah.
And so we're going to move to that building and be in that house. and minister to people, not just have a pretty another program. We're not looking for another program church, another church. We want to make an impact. You heard the pastor say repeatedly, impact, impact, impact. Are we going to touch the community? I think you said that too. Please don't get too excited. It's really overwhelming. Are we listening? Are we listening? Okay. So what I wanted to impart to you this morning was that to be about the Father's kingdom, his business. You don't have the kingdom or the God's business at heart. That's why you're a stumbling block to me. You always see things in your practical way, and God's ways are different. Now, there are 9 gifts in the Holy Spirit. 6 of them are communication gifts. Tongues, interpretation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and prophecy. God communicates 2/3 of the gifts. 1/3 is demonstration gifts. The gift working of miracles, gifts of healings, and the gift of faith. Working of miracles is different than the gift of healings because it incorporates all the things that are just undeclarable. You can't describe. You can talk it away. But gift of healings, you can still say, well, your body healed itself, or you'll find some reason, but it pertains to healing, and it's healings in plural, because one person is never gifted with all the gifts of healings. It's distributed across the body, so we all participate. Then the third one is, of course, the gift of faith. And no one talks about this gift. We get faith by hearing the word, our faith grows, and we learn to have faith. Now, never was it God's plan for us to have a lot of faith. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith, and he said, faith needs to be as a mustard seed. He put his little bitty seed, but the real issue is the doubt. If you have no doubt, so it was never how much faith you had, it was how little doubt you had. The devil knows that. Your enemy knows that from the very beginning, the first time he opens his mouth. He says, did God really say? And he's never stopped trying to sow doubt. When the devil came to God and Jesus heard it, Jesus said, the devil's asked to sift you, Peter, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Well, the devil's after when he attacks you, when he attacks your body, your health, your finance, whatever he attacks you, what's he going to do with a broken marriage? He can't do with you. He's not going to benefit from that. What he's doing that for is to see, what must I do to you that you stop believing there's a God? I've got to find a place that you'll really believe and doubt that God doesn't love you anymore. So that's what he's really after, is to sow as much doubt as possible. He's always warring against your faith, day and night. But the gift of faith is the most unique gift, and I've seen very few people in my life function in that gift. Like all the gifts, it functions from time to time as the Spirit wills. But your pastor is one of the very few people I know in my life that has a gift of faith. He doesn't even know it, because he has faith, which has grown in him with time, and he's walked the road with God. But every once in a while, it'll kick into gear, right? When he said to that person, you're going to sell the house, and it'll happen this way, because he was praying, and that gift of faith functioned. When a gift of faith functions, it's crazy. It's getting out of the boat and walking on water. The other 11 people not functioning, the gift stayed in that boat, they're not going anywhere. I've got faith, but I think it's sad. My faith is staying in the boat. And Peter had the gift of faith functioning. He got out, and when his gift of faith, let me show you how his gift of faith functioned. Peter wasn't smart, but he had a gift of faith in his life. And him and John's a smart one. You know, you always see the disciples, these old, bigger tongue guys with beards. They were young guys. When John met Jesus, he was 19. Peter was about 23. They were young people, all younger than Jesus, young men. And now he's dead, and he's only gone a few days. And so John and Peter go up to the temple, and they go into the Gate Beautiful, which is the closest to the temple from the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's this man who's been coming for years there, he's lame. Now the gift of faith starts awakens in him. There's no logic. That's what the gift of faith doesn't try and reason stuff. Look at me. I don't have any money with me. I'm going to church, but with no money. I'm not sure why that is. But he says, I haven't got money with me right now, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus, by his authority, get up and walk. That's a little crazy. The man has never walked in his life. Even if his legs were whole, he doesn't know how to walk yet.
Right.
And you know how liable he could be if you pull him up. I mean, you took him by the hand and pulled him. He could sue you if he was in Florida. And Peter didn't think he was gift of faith functioning. And John didn't say a word. John didn't even participate. Yeah, man, I'm with you. Amen. We're in agreement. Nothing. Not a word. Peter was really up and down, but he had a gift of faith. And he pulls that man up. and then the others went leaping, and Peter had not one single doubt that was going to happen. That's why he pulled him. Now, your pastor has a gift of faith. I just want you to know that. And so you can expect bigger things than your mind can comprehend.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
You have a real need, you need a miracle, listen to the word, the faith grow in you, but don't hesitate to ask your pastor to pray for you. I would definitely. I tap into that gift. People tap into my prophetic gift all the time. I do 28 meetings average a month, and I still have people from all over the world every day writing me, every day, writing, calling, in a word. Every day. Tap into the gift, because they need it, and I'm willing to. Freely I receive, freely I must give. Right?
Yes.
You don't have the things apart. You said, you are a stumbling block to me. I don't want anyone in this family to be a stumbling block to the purposes of God. Don't sit there and say, I don't know about this building. This is more than we can. Please, please. I can tell you stories of people building churches that had no money.
Yeah.
And God just kept them.
Yeah.
It's the wonderful, most exciting. If it was easy, then everybody would do it.
Yeah.
Do you understand? God wants you to trust Him and see it by faith. It's by faith. So that he gets all the glory.
Yeah.
But no man gets the credit for all the glory.
Yeah.
You're going to see the most miraculous thing in the testimonies that are going to happen. So I'm very excited about your new church, new name, new everything, brand new. That's what God does. He makes all things new. Even when he saves you, you're a new creation. You're born again. The old things have passed away. So shall it be with this family. Brand new. This is very symbolic of building the whole new movement. It's very, very exciting. I can't wait. I'm excited because I just know it's going to go from one leap to another. It's not going to grow slow. It's like this. It's time. It's time. God's been preparing you all these years. You've been in the desert a long time in this hotel. And I want to thank those people that every time have to break it up and put it together. They have so set up teams. Such a schlep. Every day, it's such a sacrifice when you do not get on. Where are you guys? Who are the guys that do that? Let me see if I can minister to you.
Yeah.
Now, please stand, please. Please stand. Stand up. We want everyone who's on the setup team, come stand up here. It's going to prophesy over you. Everyone on the setup team. If you're on the setup team, come and stand up here. Hallelujah. Yes. Three ministers of Pentecostal sins. Stand here, I can see you. Stand here. Thank you, guys. Fellows. All right. How many of you? Don't look at them, look at me. I'm just stand here. Look at me. I'm the one to speak to you. Are you married? Oh, look at that. Is your wife here today? Is your wife here today, sir? Come stand next to him. The two children are one. Are you married? You married a kid? Oh, she's ministering to his church. Well, get in a moment.
My girlfriend's in military training program.
Okay. How about you? Just stay in. You're not married? Where is she? Not here today. I just want to make sure she's not here, so I can listen. Your wife's here? That sound man's not there. That's what happened. Oh, there he is. He's dead. Okay, thank you. What's your name, sir?
Bruce
Almighty. And you are? Debris. How long are you married to this fellow?
7 years.
7 years, all right. God has added an extra lease of years of your life. The angel of death had been hovering for a while, and God changed the date, your end date. Because we all have a used by date, I don't know if you know that. Used by. And your used by date has been moved considerably. So, because God's added years to you, God's replenishing, you were doing very well, and you'd set up a really good time and good everything, but the devil robbed you. You come into a situation where you took a real knock. God says, I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to show you how I can do it. Because of your faithfulness, I tested you in the last 18 months to see your faithfulness. You did right. You did good. If the family think you're crazy, the family think you're very strange, you are. But the crazy that they don't understand is the God thing in you. stuff, but not changing anytime soon. They think that you won't stay with this burden, but you will. God is your helper, and you will see the goodness of God as God's promise to you. Man, you're a blessing in more ways than one. You're always getting in trouble for something. Someone's always on to you about something, but you've got the sweet heart, and your motivation is right. You're never going to please everybody. Get it straight today. Even God cannot please everybody. God, it says that He's on your side and He's your helper, and He's going to cause your family to change their minds. He doesn't want you to do it. He'll change their minds. And He'll get them all in. You'll have to see them all in church, and they will in time. Just give it time. There's one that's way out there, one that you're worried frantically about, but we'll send an angel to chase that kid down, and they will not escape. It's God's promise to you. Thank you. What's your name? Right. Moises. Are you married?
No.
Would you like to be?
Maybe.
It's God's will, just point and click. We're receiving applications. Anybody interested in it? Where are you from, Moises?
Born in Cuba.
Cuba. Okay, and so, permission to speak Spanish. What do you do?
I do some investing and I work a job.
Okay, because your family history, many generations back, was a very prosperous to-do, seen family. The devil robbed your family of the inheritance, and there's so much that went wrong. And God restoring back to your genealogy what's rightfully yours. God hates the moon and ancient boundary stones. And God wants to restore this back to you. You've had to endure false accusations, you've had to endure even governmental stuff and legal things coming against you. You're in a major war right now, and God says, I've set an army of angels to fight for you. But I want to glorify my name through it all. So don't panic. Don't panic. You're not going to lose. I'm going to turn it around in such a way that it will be your benefit. It will be for a good reason. So don't see this as a burden. See this as an opportunity for my glory, because they will not prosper. God will not let them take one thing from you. In fact, you'll be getting, not giving. That's God's promise to you. Gloria. Gloria a Dios. What's your name?
Yeah.
Hi, Miss T. This is your work? Dude, what's your name? Ray. Thanks for what you do with the guys helping me. Wow, there you are. Oh. Are you married, right? How many children do you have?
Seven.
Seven children. You didn't have a television, is that what happened? You didn't do that much. Both of your physical children? Yes. Not a blended family? Wow. Are you planning any more? Hallelujah! Thank you for doing that. That's build a nation thing. Good job. So, what do you do for a living? You're a very smart man, but you're very tender-hearted. People use you, and you don't have to say no. You just everyone can do what they like with you, and you've got a very tender-hearted God that loves you for it. You don't have to apologize for it because He makes everything work together for good. Always come through for you and bless you. There's a whole new door of business opening up to you. You're going to be turned into things. You'll be contracted, and a huge contract that's a very pressure, but also have a business of some kind where you'll employ people to do testing and kinds of strange stuff. I see water and chemicals and all things in testing going up, taking samples and that kind of stuff. But they're going to also have another whole contract coming your way to your expertise, and you'll have to fly a helicopter somewhere place. I don't know if it's a platform or whatever. I don't know what it is, but you're going to be doing things like that. And God's going to prosper you. But God's teaching you wisdom when to say no and when to say yes, because you've had people betray you, friends betray you. It seems to be a pattern in your life. And God's rebuking the enemy with those. He's keeping you way too long. You've got a very kind heart. Man, we would delight to the Lord. God enjoys you so much, which is so unselfish. You're always helping, giving, doing, blessing everybody. You don't know how to say no either. You've always got to make more room, make more space. And kids are not quiet. There's never been a quiet kid in your home. It's always been that busy, busy, busy life. And you've never complained about it. And your kids are a delight to the Lord. And every one of them will serve God. That's God's promise to every one of them will serve God. That's God's promise to you. One is kind of confused journey right now, but they'll straighten it out very soon and get direction about their career and future and so on. It's all going to pan out. With the light of the Lord, you're a major asset to the church, not because you set it up and went down things, but because your hearts are so loyal, so servant-like. You serve with such a tremendous heart, and it was God sending you here. She said, Pace is an example. He says, the bar is so high in servant heart and right attitude. You don't gossip, you don't slam, you don't moan, you don't complain. You do it with just absolute delight to the Lord, and you're rewarded for that. But I do see another house, another home that God's got planned for you. In fact, you'll own a couple of houses as part of the plan of the Lord. And one I see you fixing up and then becoming a real turning around for great prosperity. But another one is the very big one with all the space that you need for the things you plan. But thank you. Joseph. All right, Joseph. Are you married?
No.
I think Mary's looking for you, Joseph. Why don't you eat? Do you eat?
Do
you
do? It does. I do.
You do? Okay. What do you do for a living?
I work a long hair outside.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with you. God has made you perfect in every way, and He's fixed so many things. Went through very horrible things in your childhood. It wasn't assumed to have been that way. You didn't deserve it. You didn't make it happen. It wasn't your fault. But the Lord's made a good come from that. And you will be a heart and a ministry of mercy to a lot of young people and children. That's your destiny. Kids will flock to you because you will have compassion and understanding because of that's God's plan. There's just no complications with you. There's no evil in you. There's the sweetest, kindest heart of God. I don't know where you live and how things are with you now, but God's going to step you up step by step and heal your life and your family right here. This is where you belong. You're home.
Amen. Amen.
What's your name?
Rick.
Just call me Rick. Just call me Rick. What do you do for a living, Rick?
I'm a pool contractor.
A pool contractor. Are you in this church? The word of the Lord for you is to leave behind you is behind you now. It's time. Let go. You have a lot of word I should have, could have, and frustrated because you've been done in and things didn't work out the way you wanted. But the Lord wants you to shake it off once and for all. Let it go. It's time. And you cannot talk about it, think about it, look back anymore. Because He's going to make it up to you 100 times over. Yes, you should have prospered. Yes, you should. Yeah, so much should have been different. But still God's going to make it work. There have been those that have believed lies against you in your own family. God's going to fix that. Watch it out. Just step aside, serve God, He'll do the rest. It's God's promise to you. Don't get tired. I hear you sign when the call or complaint comes from the company and they tell them, this is a problem. And you just sign up. I'm so tired of this, Lord. God says, don't get tired. It's just part of the journey. Don't get tired. Refresh yourself in the Lord because every day is a wonderful day to be alive and to bless the Lord in every opportunity. Sometimes what you think is an irritation, you should go back to a client. Watch for the signals that God's got good plans for you. God has sent an angel to bring a lot of healing in your family. You've tried. Now it's his turn. Okay. You're a good man. I see God touching your physical heart too. What's your name? Natalie. And you? Thank you.
She's the kid.
What's your name?
Miguel.
Miguel. Where are you from? Puerto Rico. More Espanol. Gloria. So, and how many children?
Two.
So few? Puerto Rico? But I heard Puerto Rico they have 9 or 10. Grande familia.
She's not from Puerto Rico.
Same thing. Just bring the coffee, that's all we want. Bring the coffee and the babies. What do you do? That's going to change. You're doing a good job and you're happy and grateful for what you have, but God's going to change it. You've always had a dream in your heart. And God's going to give you a dream. Just keep going. Don't give up now. God's first of all changing your mind about yourself, how you see yourself, because you've taken on way too much what people have said about you. Let it go. What God says about you. If you've been in this church, you're having a reconditioning of your mind, your thoughts, and your opinions of yourself, that you can step it up. It's not God's plan for you eventually to work for other people, to work for yourself. This is what God's plan is for you. And you're going to prosper. You're a hard worker. You're a good man, a kind heart. You just can't please everybody. Your own family. It's a nightmare to try and please them. So you can please God, and God gave you a princess for a wife. Always so positive and has always a way. My sister, there's something about you comes from your family, your father's side. This natural exhorters and leaders in your family. Always not negative, whining, complaining. We take the negative things and we turn it around and make blessings out of it. That's who you are. He's been beaten down emotionally so much in his life. Never, when he grew up, it was someone that was never satisfied with him. And I hardly tried and left, kept him pressed down. So meeting you only helps lift his soul. He's changing. God's revolutionized his thinking process. It's not always been that way. You don't have to carry him or encourage him all the time. He'll get into place there himself. I know you've only won two kids, but I see a third one. I don't dish out kids. I don't make it happen. I'm only a messenger. No, I don't think it's not the two he has. I think it's God blessing you. Because you're a very good mother. You're a wonderful mom. You will always be involved with your children. Always be involved in some sort of business too in your life. Always helping. Maybe helping his. But you can organize things. It's never going to be too much. We don't ever think it's going to be too much. God never asks for more. His yoke is easy and light. So be at peace. And God's pleased with you. He wants to bless you. There's a house you want. Always you had this idea, this dream, this vision for a specific house. He says, I tell you, God says, you will have exactly that. The right time to have patience. What's your name?
Karan.
Where are you from?
India.
Okay, good. So you married?
Not yet.
Are you dating someone?
Yes.
Does she know?
She's
in
Australia, but she's on military training.
Oh, that's right. Didn't you? Okay. You missing her?
Very much.
Oh. So when are you getting married?
Well, I have to pop the question, but when the time is right, and I'm waiting for her to get back.
Don't you know the Bible says now is the time?
I'll do it right now.
What do you do?
I work for the local utility company. I've been working for about 12 years and I've done everything from finance, accounting, tax, audit, to now I work in insurance group.
And I know God's prospered you and blessed you, but I'm releasing you from a spirit of poverty that's followed you and your bloodline too long. God wants to restore to you, because more than the abilities you have, there's business in you. You're supposed to own much profit and different businesses. All part of God's plan. So I'm releasing you from that spirit that keeps strangling you. There's always something stealing your money. Every time you want to do something, something steals it. Fear grips your heart. That's the biggest issue, fear. And I release you from that because you have faith and confidence. God sent you to this house, God sent you to this church to catch the spirit of prosperity. And you will prosper. So I have no doubt that the woman that you're dating is the one God has chosen. I have no doubt she's the one. She needs to leave what's behind her too. She's been carrying a wound for a long time. And she's taking a chance on you, but she's quite safe and very predictable. You eat the same food all the time, you don't change it. All so predictable. But a good man. What's your name?
My name's James.
James and
Angela.
Thank you for serving all of you. Thank you so much for serving the way you do. May God bless you. What do you do, James?
I'm a teacher.
School teacher? Which grade?
I had in my class sixth grade, middle.
Pointing at him. He's only student teacher.
No. He's one of them.
You didn't do a very good job. You had a good heart, good spirit. They didn't try to kill you when you were younger. You were targeted more than, actually twice, to physically destroy you because you were frightened of the plans and purposes of God in your life. You pursued different things, including school and education, but always there was this leaning towards the kingdom of God. Your greatest challenge is that you're impulsive or move too fast. You don't wait for the right time and stuff. You married a lady who's much more sedated like that, much more calm as she'll wait. Not stress about stuff, but you might bought that, that's good today. God is teaching you to wait for his time. His time is imperative, and you have much more prosperity or fruitfulness, is what I'm looking for the word. You are a good man, you're upright heart, your motivation is pure, God is pleased with you. He's restoring to you the devil stole from you. You've been to hell and back in more ways than one, and that's people who don't fanny myself against you. You have to forgive them that God will bless you. You're not sent through this church, you're sent to this church. You're going to add a flavor and a ministry technique and things here to the house. There's a ministry in this house you'll have that God is planning for you. So it's very important to understand that the Bible is linked to the spiritual things. My sister, the slow one. Take a long time, but you got the volcano. Everything thinks it's all quiet and suddenly there's trouble. Because you push her long enough and she'll let you know. But you're a strong leader and your word is true. If you make a promise, you're going to keep it. And it'll be as quick as he wants it. But it's going to happen. It's who you are. You're a woman of absolutely noble, upright character. And you are very prophetic. So I want to stir it up and awaken it in your life to go. You need to forgive God's servant, but not here, that hurt you the way they did. I'm so sorry they did wrong to you. You didn't cause it. It wasn't your fault. You didn't do it. It was their sin, their weakness, their wrong heart. And they wounded you. So I release you from that wound and that hurt. And don't hold back up your ministry. You know, you sing on the stage, you go, wonderful gift of the things of God. You need it in the house. You need it here. Okay? And you're being wounded. Rachel. Rachel, thank you for marrying me. It was a dirty job, but somebody had to do it. Daniel, the head of the shepherd's heart and pastor's heart, and God is my witness today. There will come a time that you'll be on staff in this church. It's my question. No question.
Daniel's
there. I mean, full time pastor and functioning all the time in the church. We don't have much of that here. Sorry, hotel.
Right. Well, he's become a staff, but not in the first church.
He will be all of that in the new house. The church will be recognized in that. If you have a frustration in your heart, you want to minister more, teach more to you all, but all inside of you, you love to practice of it all the time. It's like he's very patient with you, but it's getting too much now. He paid me to say it. I'm kidding, but so in this next church you'll have classes where you will. New believers, new different things, and it'll be so exciting for you. And from that, invitations will come, and you'll have this church at your common platform, and you belong. We'll reach you to go on occasion to different places, and it'll be stimulating. You waited a long time for this. The time has come. God's been rewarded for your faithfulness. You almost left out a season you didn't, and God waited for God's plan. Ma'am, you are a real anchor in more ways than one. There's something about you that just will not surrender to unwise decisions. You always want to make sure it's right. You're not fearful or over careful. You just have a solid way of doing things right. Your word is true. And you keep your word, and you're just a great asset to the family of God in every way. And God's healing something in your body. There's been a disturbance in the force. And God's going to fix it. He's going to fix it by His Spirit. You know there's a knowledge of healer. That is to heart for the Lord. You have a child that you petition the Lord for frequently. God has heard your petition. That is to heart for the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. Can you get a salad from me, please, for mine? You want me to stop now?
No.
Why are you standing here? I'm nervous.
This comes in.
If you don't have a smartphone, you can get one. If you have a smartphone, you can download my app free. I do a daily devotional for my family who want to read a short scripture and those things very quick. It's on there available, and the idea of that app was to get the prophets that I think are healthier than normal and not weird and strange and to weigh in on what God's doing around the world, and you can always check it out on there. So get that app.
So the app is called Prophetic
Life? Yes, or just by name. Type it in your app store. It's available, it's very easy to get. I know it's not an app. Alright, if the games continue. Hallelujah. Oh, I've got your name, sorry. Maybe. I know you're not just, it's like a senior moment to get to. You too shall be there one day. Yeah, it's a little bus. Right, Joe?
Yeah.
So, it is God's pleasure for you to move on in your life and to have the things God has planned for you. I heard the Lord clearly say that what you went through was absolutely, I think I said it before, not your fault. You did nothing wrong. You keep looking for what you should have done better, or sometimes it just comes to steal rather than destroy. And God gives people grace and time to shape up. But the Lord has drawn a line in the sand, and new things God really wants you to be blessed, to be happy. The word is to take it slow and let your heart lead you. You're not the same person you were 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You've grown so much that you won't make a mistake. Because now, you're worried about making a mistake. If the Lord's your shield, your motivation's right, you won't make a mistake. You know what mom and dad said to everybody else. It's what you and God say. It's all about your heart. And you won't make a mistake. I promise you. Your nursing career is coming to a place of great change, too. You're not going to stop the industry, but you're going to change the way it's been working. Somehow, something new is coming. It's going to make your life so much different. And you love doing what you do, love helping people. But it's very specialized, and it's a whole plan. You're going to be over others that are doing the job. And make sure that you're right, because it's frustrated you that you keep fixing other people's back off. And so it's going to change. You're going to become someone in a leadership place. You don't want to take on to that, but you're ready to do things for yourself. But this is going to incorporate all that for you. God's got a plan. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. You've been through a valley of sorrow and disappointment, but it's all going to work together for good. This is the next few years of your life, I think, which is overwhelming and full of joy and happiness. Yes? Okay. Free of charge. Hallelujah. You know why God made Gentiles, right? Somebody had to pay retail. Jews are a whole different breed by themselves. They have their own language. It's called Hebonics. You ask a question that never tell you an answer. So you ask, so DC, how are you? You should ask, how I am. You should ask. No answers. All right, so what's your name with the face? Glasses? Yes, so this is your wife next to you?
Mark
and Lena?
Mina.
Mina. Hi, Mina. So, Mark, are you married to this lady?
Yes, I am.
How long?
18 years, she said.
That's funny. Why was he laughing at it? I wouldn't let him laugh for 18 years. I'm like, I'm not going to laugh. How many kids you guys have?
One.
Only one in 18 years? You better go home now.
You got a little bit of a late start.
That's what I'm saying. People start late, can't stop.
Yeah.
So what do you do for living? I'm just teasing you. What do you do for a living?
Sort of transitioning into a new business right now.
What kind of business?
It's digital marketing and design.
Because the word of the Lord I have for you is, I must tell you, you can do this. You doubt yourself, you're your worst enemy. The devil doesn't even attack you. Because you lay awake at night worrying about everything, stressing, and the Lord says, you can do this. And you can do it well. Your biggest challenge is you second guess yourself. You make a decision and you start backing down on it. It's like going to a menu in the restaurant and choosing something, then halfway calling the waiter back, you're not sure, you don't want to change something else. You're just not sure. You need to stop that. Follow your heart, because your heart is good. There's not a lick of meanness or evil in you. And so God will back you because your motivation is right. He'll bless you. The devil always wants to remind you of what you think are mistakes or failures. And they weren't. They were not mistakes. They were opportunities. And learning experience, they were never failures. Never. You're a good man. You're comparing yourself to the wrong people in the family. Wrong people. Don't compare. Compare yourself to the Lord only. 2 Corinthians says only fools compare themselves to other people. So you must line yourself up with the Lord. God's going to bless you and prosper you. And you're not as good a businessman as you are good at work. So you're going to trust people around you to make good business decisions for you. But the key is, if you make a decision, stay with it. Don't change it later. Just stay with it. God will back you. God will bless you. Because if your heart's right. Your heart is really right. God wants to bless you. It's very important to know you're not supposed to move away here. God is putting the roots down, not lifting them. You've got this itching restlessness, thinking about the other side of the hill. No. You're where God wants you to be. Settle down. Right, Mina? She's a go-getter lady. You've made 5 decisions and he's still making the one. You know, you're just very fast, get things done. He needs that. He loves that about you. You're a go-getter girl, but you're a wonderful team together. And a blessing. You know, you're a woman of God. You have great regard for the Lord and His work. We never have to wonder what you're thinking, because you'll tell us. There's no problems. Figure it out. You God's adding wisdom to the way you say things, but not to lose your communication skill because you are good at what you do. God's your helper, and he's healing something in your body as a sign to you today that his favor is upon your life. You've been having a discomfort for a while. When you leave this building, it's gone. Gone. No doctor, no medicine. Gone.
Yeah.
Good God. Bad devil. So what is your name of the zebra?
Cassandra.
Cassandra. Are you in this church?
Yes.
You're committing yourself to the family?
Yes.
Because God has brought you for the long journey here. You were like a wanderer for a while, not sure what to do, where you fit in, because you don't have that culture, you don't have that culture. What you actually have is a Jesus culture. That's why you couldn't fit in. You didn't always feel comfortable with that. Even though they loved God, they were trying to make a culture out of you. Your culture is Jesus. And you just can't please them all in your own family. You've tried so hard. Everyone's making demands and they're all pulling you this way. Just be yourself. God likes you just the way you are. This is the best year for you financially to God. It's fixing so many of those things that you've been calling to him for. They've been promising you last year stuff. This is the year the fulfillments will come. That's God's promise to you. I see you see a new vehicle. God's lining up for you this year too. He's fixing some things in the family. There's been a little war, and God's going to fix that for you, healed by his Spirit. You're a sweetheart. There's no evil in you. Although it takes a long time to be really mad, then you'll kill the fly with a hammer, then you've had it, then it's done. You're not talking about this anymore. Done. There's no going back in it. It takes you a while to get there. God is your helper and your strength, and there's been cancer and sickness in your family. It will not touch you. It will not touch you. That's it. That's it. We've aged. We've aged. We've been with me, brother. Used by dates come and gone already. You're still here. So, Angie, so you really look like, what's your mother, I suppose, I don't know. Your dad? I don't know. Yeah, I all think like that. I think so too. No, who knows? Anyway, so you finally, I heard you finally moved here. I'm so glad you did. It's wonderful. You know, they all really want you to participate in this church. Every one of your chromosomes and cells in your body vibrates when you think of God. Just come alive. You can't help yourself. You've been coping all the years, but you haven't been living. Now you can live again. It's in you. The DNA, mom, dad, it's in you. Can't stay away from things of God. You just have, you have an exhortation. You always will raise the dead back to life just by encouraging. You can't stay down. No one can stay negative and whining around you. You've been to Halifax 3 times now. So you understand how it's like with Ellie's. You're not talking about what you haven't been through. But you're going to be so loved in this family, this church, going to just be crazy about you because you'll be encouraging everyone. I think you're staying with somebody, I'm going to put up.
Me?
Yeah. But you're going to have your own home, and it's on the water. It's literally on the water. Because God came. Because God came. You were married to your husband for a reason. He's so different to you. It's like opposite poles. You're so positive, full of life, and you're so slow, and still thinking about it, and sometimes it's negative, I remember. But God did that for a reason, to polish you, always to keep your sharpness on the cutting edge, to strengthen God's people, and you'll always be exalted. No matter what it looks like, you'll always speak faith and courage, but God is fanning your spirit back to life again in a brand new way. So it's bringing new joy to you, and you're feeling the whole vibrant, you're feeling the new life coming into your soul. And that's because you're born for this. This is the most happiest time of your life. Your kids are going to flourish. It's God's promise. They're going to flourish. And they're waiting on you. Or you like them needing you. They won't need you anymore. They will not need you. They'll be so good on their own. And you'll be busy with the work of the Lord. And that's where you'll find your greatest happiness. Your husband will also become more and more comfortable. A lot of the struggles he had before, to fight for everything, it won't be that way for him. Just fall into place. But you know that. Thank you, Jesus. You have something in your digestive system that's a little awful difficult for you. And as I speak with you, God says it's not a process to heal that, that you will be completely healthy and a longer life you'll have because, you, because it's you making you strong. It's things of God. Hallelujah! At least 80 years. And you have a lot of kids too, don't they? You have 7 or 8. Wow, 8 is enough. Maybe it's show just for you. Be ready now. Oh, no, you're not going to cry. It's a happy prophecy. Happy prophecy. You've had, your life has always run in cycles. You had this fight, dry, long, dry cycle. Now you've hit the long, happy cycle they have. You're going to reap. And if things come at you from every direction, in prosperity, in happiness, and blessings, that you're not even trying to happen. You're sowing the seeds for years and years and years. God's not mocked when everyone sows in my street. This is your reaping time. This is your time. You must get back and enjoy. Remember, each time it comes, it's been coming for years, all the blessings. And so there's a whole lot of new businesses in your life that God is going to do. You've tried and you've been trying for so many years, but this is the time to God. This is the new place to reward you. Almost like, not too late, but like, gosh, you've waited so long for all this stuff, God. And, now it's just it's God's season in His way and His time. And you used to play an instrument, didn't you? You were playing on the platform? The Bible says, blow the trumpet in Zion. No, it says that. Yeah. Some people blow their own trumpets. Names. So, your kids are all going to all be very fertile trees next door, all of them. You can't fix everything. You try. You've done a very good job with all the children. And there seems to be some that are very different from the others. And the different ones have become very independent. But they're all going to find God wherever they go. God's going to give them their faces because of the covenant He made with you. We'll keep these for Tom and Anna for the recording. So God's going to keep His covenant with that. There's a situation right now, a business situation right now that's hanging. And God says, be patient. I'm formulating it for your benefit. You must know that my time has always been right. Always. And I've got reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it says, be working your benefit. That's God's promise to you. Your rewards of faithfulness. If you thought that you may have gotten some money, you haven't seen anything yet. That's what I'm saying. Thank you, that's very kind of you. Let me see here. I like these three or four people right here. Are you friends, family, right here? Three here. Would you like standing up, please? Good, good.
They're all new.
They're all new?
Yeah,
we're new,
right?
Yeah,
we're new.
First time. I didn't know that. I'm not from here. So I didn't do it because you knew. I didn't know. I don't know who's new, who's not. Sorry. What's your name?
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Do you live in Florida?
Yes, but I go back and forth, like up north to work.
To work?
Where? In the nuclear power industry.
Where? Which town do you work in?
Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite interesting lady. There's a lot of changes coming your way, though, because you've been challenged by people that resent or undermine your authority or they don't want to give you the credit for what you do good at. They don't give you the credit for all the input you keep putting in. And they admit later you're right by changing things, but don't give you the credit for it. And God's not putting an end to that. I'm going to give you your rightful position and your rightful honor that you need to have. God should help it. In your relationships, you've had some real strains. And I'm to tell you from the Lord, it's not your doing. The only thing wrong with you is you're gullible and believe everybody. Because you're not crooked, you're not wicked. You don't expect people to lie and cheat. That's why I said you don't understand that. It's because you're honest. And it's going to keep happening to you because you're so upright and honest. But the Lord is going to change that, that he'll protect you, he'll shield about you. But he's knocking on the door and calling you. You were given to God as a child, you prayed over, and you belong to the Lord. You need to serve after and follow God, but that's where you'll be the happiest. But you're a wonderful champion in many ways, in many ways. And you're looking for something. What you really need is God. It's not someone, it's God. And you add all that to you as time goes on. He's fixing so many things in the right way. I see great changes right where you're working, just right there, God. In the next 2 days, you're going to see it. Hey, man, say that to me. Look at it. What's your name?
Brian Bob
Pittich. Hi, Brian Bob Pittich. Where are you from?
Ohio. I lived in Florida a year. We both live in Quest on the other side of the channel.
What does that mean? I'm from Texas, y'all. Channel coming. I don't know all the channels and things.
This is my son.
Son. Wow. You must have fed him something to go that tall.
Dad's fault.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Okay, cool. So, what do you do for a living?
I work radiation protection for nuclear power plants. Okay.
But I see in the spirit world, you're an electronic genius. You're very smart with computers. You don't need to see a thing or learn a thing once and you remember stuff. You're very, very smart. And you always were separate from a lot of kids growing up because they didn't always get you. You should have
said,
oh, yes. You were always ahead of them. But God's attaching people to you that can really appreciate you. Because you're a very loyal, good friend. You're unusual. You're very unusual in many ways.
Thank you.
But you're very true. You have a true heart. You have your mother's true heart. You're upright. You keep your word. You're loyal. You don't change easily. And you're kind of an absent-minded professor. You stuff everywhere. But you seem to know where all the junk is, every little thing has its place in your mind. And the same electronically, I see that you're advancing, taking a course, and becoming a very special specialist in some electronic equipment that's very important. And that's what God's got planned for you.
The electronics I know how to do is plug in my Xbox and turn it on. That's about it.
But not now. It's going to change. Things are going to advance for you a whole lot more in your time. What's your name?
Cecilia.
Cecily.
Cecilia.
Cecilia.
Yes.
Okay, where are you from, Cecilia?
Florida.
You're from Ohio or something like that?
No.
Okay, so what do you do?
I'm a nurse.
And a good one, too.
Yay. Thank you.
Nurses here. I appreciate the nursing staff. They get no credit for all the work they do. So little recognition. They do all the work. The doctor comes along, it's fantastic, and nurses all the work. But God's healing your life. You've got so many broken wounds and things. You can't fix it with walls. In your own families, it's not possible. But the Lord is doing it. And he hasn't forgotten about you. In your desperation, you called upon God. It sounds awful, but I see you in the bathroom calling upon the Lord. Say, please, God, go help me. I don't know what to do. And right there, God, look at you. Right there, God, look at the heavens to you. He says, I'm working on you. I've got you back. And I'm going to help you. The devil's not going to triumph for you. You're not going to be defeated. God's going to come through for you. Bringing your whole arms around your whole family and repairing the walls and doing some magic things for you. You're in good shape. You're good. It's a future, a wonderful future that's here for you. Just keep going, right? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. The row. That's three people? You can't count, can you? Okay, the whole row. All the sinners. So what's your name with this blue shirt? Bill. Are you married, Bill? Do you know who to?
Yep.
Oh, the one right next to you. Okay, what's your name, buddy?
Amanda.
Amanda, thank you for marrying him. How long are you guys married?
4 years.
4 years. What do you do for a living, sir?
Sales rep.
God thinks more of you, much more than you think of yourself. You're trying so hard to succeed, and that you seem to have not failed on the word, but you seem to have had challenges that have slowed you down considerably, several times in your life, and that you've kind of not feel the success pushing your bones the way that God wants to. But you can do it. You can do all things through Christ's presence. Do you understand? They told you that actually is the words you're a loser. It's not true. It's not true. It's a lie. It's a lie. You're not a loser. You're a blessing and a success, and God's got good things for you in store. He's going to change everything in your life, and those struggles you've had, is the only thing you've got to do is you've got to finish everything you start. You've got a lot of ideas, you're all excited, you're getting motivated, but you've got to finish stuff you start in God's business. You've got some amazing ideas, some revolutionary ideas. Just take one, finish one, and watch what God will do for you. You still waiting to hear someone in your family tell you that you're good and you're smart and they're proud of you? You can hold your breath. It's God. God is very proud of you. God is pleased with you. Do you understand? He's your dad and he's so proud of you. And that's all that matters. In the right place. Keep going. That's for you, man. We're delighted to the Lord because you have a very much a balance in your life and everything. You always do what's right and you keep things going right. You're forgiving people that have done wrong to you. People in your own family, people around your friends, to forgive them. God appreciates and loves you for the way you've released people, not held any resentment in your heart. You're forgiven. And He will not hold them back. And I see promotion coming your way more and more, where managerial things will be put on you. And they'll ask you to do certain courses and qualifications because that's required and they want you. But you just what's holding back is that paperwork, and they want you to do that paperwork, and you can do it. Because it's got the other things God's got planned because of it. You're a natural manager, you're a natural skilled organizer, get things done, ladies. So you can't help yourself. You're always organizing everybody. You can't even walk in someone's house without scraping their painting on the door. It's you. Just your natural nature becomes to be order, is who you are. Everything you do is well with delight. He's so different, and he delights in his heart is gold, and he married a man with a heart of gold. What's your name, sir?
Bill.
Bill? You know him?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. He's your father. And William the Senior. And who is his mother?
Gokshan, but they call me Gigi. They can't pronounce my name. So everybody calls me Gigi.
All right. And so how long have you guys been married?
4 years.
4 years. What do you do for a living, sir?
In the manufacturing industry.
What do you manufacture?
Metal components, casting, forging.
All right. God is giving back to you what's right for yours. Your whole life's been a war, just constantly fighting what's right for yours. And you accused, faulted, you pushed down, and there's one thing after another. The devil's robbed you every which way he could. And the devil wants you to believe negative. And I'm here to tell you it's not the truth. You know, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel Sanders, as we know him, became what he became at the age of 65. He began to fight chicken. So it's not too late. All the wars you've been through, it's not your fight, it's God's. You let God defend you and bring back to you what's right for yours. You have the knowledge, you have the experience, you know the people. It seems to me that some people just used you and just things didn't pan out. They didn't keep their word and people, money changed them. God wants to give back to you what's right for yours. And every accusation, every thing that's spoken negatively is your fault. The ground of God will be a vindicator. It's that simple. There will be some very hateful judgments against you. God's going to fix it. He's going to be your protector. It's a new day for you. As a sign to you that I speak God's word, you've had this burning sensation, something going on inside of you. You're hearing God's going to fix it today. Today, you will know that the Lord has touched you. He's not mad at you. Not mad at you. You also try to please someone your whole life, your child. You try to please them. To prove you could do it. Prove you could do it. It's in the spirit of the family. We shake it off. It's God's pleasure. He likes who you are. You're a good friend. You're a good friend. You're very busy. You take on too many things. You can't keep all your promises. You've got way too much going on. But your heart wants to help everybody. It's who you are. As for you, Gigi, what do you do?
Gigi, I'm not working.
You're a home engineer?
Yes.
And a good one, I'm sure. But you're very creative. You're very artistic. You have a great little design. And somehow we're getting involved in the church too to help with design and getting things done artistically. Very gifted that way. You've got a song in your heart. You love to sing. It's always the best sound. But it's the God who likes in the song. He loves the way you worship Him. He just enjoys that so much. You've got a sweet heart. You've got a lot of love inside of you. And people have been jealous of you since you're a little girl. People just, whatever you do is wrong because they're just jealous of you. That's okay. It's their problem, not yours. You can't heal jealousy. You're a sweetheart. They were jealous of you before, they'll be more jealous of you in the future because of the beautiful home you'll have. I don't know why it's got a view, because nothing's got a view, it's all flat. I see your higher view. So, what's your name, sir?
I'm Matthew.
Hi, Matthew. What do you do?
What do I do? I do a lot of things. See, while I'm getting a job this week, like I'm just doing one of those things where they see your skills.
Okay.
And you get a job based off of that.
Okay. You're pretty smart. And the real issue with you is you're not a developer.
I'm not.
Don't give up. Just always finding a way to do something next and some more. No matter what they're throwing you away, you're determined to keep moving on.
Right.
And I don't know what's wrong with you, but God is going to touch you. He determined to see God's glory. He determined that God will heal you, and he will. And he will. But the enemy thought he could knock you down, but the victim will strengthen your life. And you're working very hard to fix all those things. I see you work out what it is, you're doing some things all the time. Doing better than people expected. And you'll keep doing, you're very smart. You're very smart too, and I see a lot of, he said he only does the Xbox, but he'll do computers too, and there's some industry that he's with, this equipment that he has to work on. But you will work with computers itself, actual computers and in the internet industry. It's got a plan for some things lying for you. She's pretty smart, you learn quickly, and you've got to work things out, you've got a mathematical brain. Very fast with that kind of stuff. You're a good guy, and I see it. The healing process, you'll be fine. You're going to be completely normal and fine. Going to be. Okay, what's your name?
Jared.
Jared? Who do you belong to, Jared? Are you married? And love what?
I'm not married.
Would you like to be?
Maybe.
Is there someone you like here? Is there someone that likes you? Are you blushing? I can't tell. Are you in this church?
Yes, sir.
You like it here? You've got some artistic abilities. It's rap or musical rhythm, but you have something inside of you God would like to tap into and use for his glory. But you would enjoy, you would benefit by it if you do it, because you, it would stimulate something inside of your spirit, man. You stayed too long in one spot. It's time for you to move on and move up. If they've taken so many pressures in your life, you need to just keep going further. You need to reach to the sky. You don't aim higher. There's nothing, you don't aim. And God's your helper. You've been through it. Crisis in your life where, even as a child, there are things that happened to you that should never happen. But the Lord, and all things work together for good on your behalf. He's your help. I don't know what you do for them, but you've asked for something else, something new, and he's heard your prayers, he's heard what you asked for him. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He'll do that for you. There's someone you love that's not here, that you miss, long for, that you want to see, and God's heard that prayer too. And it's all going to be fixed by his Spirit, not too hard for the Lord.
Right?
Hallelujah. The children's church teachers have come in and in children's church. Oh, Mary Bell, they were in children's church helpless teachers. Who else? Sue Ray, come on in. Wendy's. Who else is there? Is it just Wendy and yourself and Sumit? All right.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Mary Bell. Mary Bell was the bishop from Salzburg's girlfriend, 14 children with him. Have you ever heard of Sound of Music?
Yeah.
The movie? Yeah. The Monet dancer on the fountain, that's the palace of Mary Bell. Travel the world, so I know all this stuff. I use this information. So you married Mirabelle? You married?
No.
And are you looking for someone young? I can help you. Mirabelle, your life's not over, and God really appreciates the fact that you've taken on a new chapter in your life and not staying where you were with any kind of sadness or getting old. You want to hang around the old people. You want to get up and do something, and just put too much energy inside of you in that. So you're giving your heart, your services, your willingness to help other people, not just the children's church. Wherever you can, you'll serve and God will bless you. You're very systematic by nature. It's your nature to have everything ordered, organized, and you've got your life going a certain way, but you want to be more fruitful. There's a child or someone you love very much that you've rescued several times and helped. You need God to break through on them. There's a little knocking on the door from the Holy Ghost. Your prayers are very powerful. God's calling you to a life of prayer. not only for them, but for his kingdom, and so it will become a very fruitful thing. We have a wonderful journey in the future of this church. Wonderful. Very exciting for you. Right? We're going to go overseas for a little bit too. What's your name? Are you married to it?
Yes.
Do you know who to?
Yeah.
You didn't bring him to church?
Yeah, I told him, but he doesn't want to.
Where are you from?
I'm from
Haiti. Haiti, okay. Tell him I was looking for him.
Okay.
Tell him to be afraid, be very afraid, coming to his house. So what do you do for a living?
I'm a certified nursing assistant.
Nursing assistant, okay. You've carried the load in your family a long time. You carry everybody. You're always going to fix things and you're tired. Now, the Lord says, cast your cares on me, I'll take care of it. You need to learn to let me take care of it. Even though it's not going the way you want it to go, because it's like a wheelbarrow. You push it, it's going, you put it down, that's where it stays. Now you let God fix it. God is shaking. You've done too much for them, all of them, too much. And now you're so used to doing it all, because you're a real servant heart and a giver and always laying your life down. So as a little girl, you've always served everybody. And now to help them, you're going to turn them loose, let them find down the way, all of them, and watch God move for you. But he's pleased with you and how you serve the kingdom of God, how you help other people. You're a real encourager. People seem to tell you stuff that you don't want to know. Wherever you go in town, they always speak without telling you things because there's something drawing them to tell you because you have a heart, you care about people and they feel they can talk to you. But God's going to use you to help counsel them, he's training you step by step, kind of counselor for the Lord and the teacher. But tell you the Lord says, I whispered in my head, and I must tell you, this is your church. This is your family. You must stay. This is what the Lord's whispering in my head now. Tell you, this is your home, you must stay. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. I named a burger after you, a square one.
Yes.
That's going to stay. So you married Wendy? Would you like to be?
No.
That's it, man. So what do you do?
I work for a construction company.
Wow. The Lord says, I must tell you that your future will be so much brighter and better than the past. Keep measuring where you've been. You've committed like almost like a suicide in your emotions by killing a part of yourself. It's not going to happen. Going through all that, not what they went through, but not doing any of that stuff. And so a part of you is kind of dead, and God wants to awaken you in the spirit. And he promises you that your future will never be like your past, never. Because you changed, you've grown, you've gone forward, the hand of the Lord's on you, you are remarkable, and you are very gifted, very talented. You didn't come here just to take the help of the kids. Thank God you're doing that. But you have so many other kids. And people didn't appreciate it. You suffered serious abuse at different levels. And God promises you he's never going to allow that to happen ever again. And that you are here. God did send you, literally send you here for a reason. And you will prosper and be blessed in this church and be a very fruitful tree of ministry. I mean, you are going to touch people's lives. Amazing work of God. And all that the enemy thought he could destroy you with, all that broke you down in the moments of deep nights of despair, was preparing you for this greatness waiting for you here. And I know you don't want to get married, no interest, but as sure as God's above my head, you will not walk alone. Sure as God.
Well, I'm dating Jesus, so.
she's a nun. That is a fellow that Jesus is going to send. All right, thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank you all for staying until the end. I appreciate it and showing respect for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we could have gone home 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Then Wendy wouldn't have had that prophecy.
Yeah.
And Surette wouldn't have had that prophecy.
Yeah.
See, I'm staying here not for me, I'm staying here for you. Because I'm trying to have as many people get ministered to as possible. So thank you for staying. I know it's later than we usually are, but look, people pray, God move, God move, God move, and then when it starts moving, they go home. Oh, I've got to go now. So thank you for staying. I want to say this as before we close in a couple of minutes, is we appreciate so much the ministry of Ed Trout. He's been a good friend and has been to minister to our church many, many times. How many of you have ever received a word from a crowd? Have you ever, at any time? Okay, there are so many people that have received it. And you know, the next time that Ed comes to our church, we'll be in our new building.
Yay!
And we like to have more than one service. It's hard to do it in a hotel because it costs us $2,500 to do a service here. But when we get to our new building, we'll do, you know, maybe we'll do two or three services, so there's more than one opportunity for Ed to minister to people. Maybe we'll do a prophetic seminar next time he comes. I don't know. But we do want to support his ministry.
Yeah.
And the scripture says in I'd like to read the scripture to you. Can you please bring that up for me? 3 John, I think I sent it to you. Do you have that?
Yes.
3 John. It says this in the 3rd epistle of John, verse 5. Dear friends, you are being faithful to God. Listen to this. You are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. Now, Ed is definitely not a stranger to us. It says, they have told the church of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. Now that means if there's a manner that pleases God, then that means there would be a manner that would not please God. We want to provide for it in a manner that is pleasing to God. We want to be generous towards his ministry. It says, for they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. It says, so we ourselves should support them so that we can be partners as they teach the truth. Do you know that when you support, when you give to a ministry like Ed Trout, that you become a partner, and that means that whatever God does through his life, whatever lives are changed, you become a partner with that. You will be rewarded one day from the Lord by partnering with Ed Trout. That's what we're doing. We're partnering with Ed Trout. We want to send him on his way in a manner worthy of the Lord. We want him to be able to continue to go, you know, minister, prophesy, and encourage people, bring the word of the Lord. How many of you agree with this?
Yeah.
So I'm asking you today to be generous. I'm asking you to send Ed in a manner worthy of the Lord. Whatever you give into this offering will go to Ed Trout's ministry, Prophetic Life Ministry. And of course, his ministry is funded mainly by offerings that received as he travels around. So thank you for being generous. And I know that the Lord will bless you. The Bible says if you give a cup of water to a prophet, you will be rewarded. Amen? And as we receive the offering, I want to make an announcement that I said I was going to do. Is everybody ready to give today, or anyone still needs a little more time? Who needs a little more time? Who's ready? You're not ready. You haven't even written your check yet. You're not ready. You said you're ready. Praise God. Now, Ed, about a year ago, it was about a year ago, Ed was here, and we were outside. I think we had ripped another broken egg, and we were standing outside, and we were talking, and Ed started to speak the word of the Lord to me. And one of the things he said is, he said, you're going to change the name of your church. You're going to change the name of your church. And when he said that, I was, why would I ever do that? I wasn't thinking about it, last thing on my mind. And so when I reminded Ed of this time I reminded him, I said, remember a year ago? He said, I don't remember that. He said, don't you remember what you told me? He said, I don't remember that. You know why? Because he simply speaks whatever the Lord tells him, and then when he goes, he doesn't remember everything he's told you. So he didn't remember it all. And then it started to come back to him. I said, remember you told me about a year ago, we're gonna change the name of our church. It's going to be a new season. It's going to be a new chapter. It's going to be a whole new season. And we're going to start a new brand. And I was like, why would we do that? Then this happened. Then we get a call from Joe Siegel, who said, I want to send you a building on Indian Town. And long story short, We're in the process of bought the building, and our attorney said to us, he said, listen, because, remember we lost our building on Center Street in foreclosure back in 2016. Well, the bank has a judgment against us for $1.5 million. And my attorney said to me, if you buy this new attorney as Christian Family Church, if you buy this new building, that bank can come after you for years to come. And I don't want to be in future legal battles for years to come over this new building. Are you with me? He said to me, my advice to you is that you start a new church, start a new corporation. That's my advice. So I phoned and I spoke to Pastor Theo about it, and he was in agreement. And so what I've come to realize is, it's not just about the new building, but God is doing something new in our church. We are stepping into a new chapter. Are you with me? And so Jill, we were praying over this, and the Lord gave Jill this scripture. And I want to ask you to bring that scripture up for me. The Lord gave Jill this scripture, Joshua 10 verse 7, it says, so Joshua ascended, everyone say ascended.
Ascended.
Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and the mighty men of valor. That's the scripture the Lord gave us. She said, she's like, the Lord gave me the scripture. And when she gave me the scripture, I saw the name of our church. Our new church, when we move into our new building, we will be launching a new church. Our new church is called Ascend Church. That's the name of our new church, Ascend Church. As long as we're in the hotel, we are going to continue to operate as Christian Family Church. We need you to continue to support Christian Family Church as long as we're in the hotel. But when we step into that new building, a brand new church is Ascend Church will be launched. And do you know what the name ascend means? I looked it up. I Googled it. That to ascend means to go upward. It means to move to a better place. It means to rise to a higher point. It means to shoot to the top. And I really believe, family, we are moving up to a better place. I believe we're rising to a better position. I believe we're going upward. I believe this is a new chapter. I really do. And I believe, like Prophet Ed said, I've been praying, Lord, turn on the faucet that people just flood from every direction. And I believe we're going to see a very fast growth. I believe we're going to end up very quickly going to multiple services. I'm planning on having a full-on Spanish service with interpreter. The whole service will be Spanish. I want to reach the Spanish community. So I'm excited about this. And let me tell you, I believe the Lord is in this. And I'm so glad it was here today, because this, I believe, is the way God is leading us. We still are in relationship, of course, with Pastor Theo. I always will be. Well, you know, I'll always be with Pastor Theo. He's still my pastor. We're still part of the fellowship. But we are now, from when we move in our new building, we will be Ascend Church. So I thought I'd let you know that.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Praise God. Let's just please go ahead and receive the offering today. This morning, please pass the baskets so that we can close the service. We always want to be sure to thank all of our volunteers who served today. Thank you to our volunteers for set up the children's ministry, our media, our greeters. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. I also want to say that if you would like to help volunteer when it comes to doing work on the building with demolition, or if you said, I'd like to help, I'm available. Well, obviously, it would be great if you have experience in construction, but if you say, I'd like to help positive, I can help with demolition, I can help with this, I can help with that. I believe God has put people right here in our church who are going to help us with the renovations. So what I need you to do is come talk to me. Say, positive, I'd like to help with renovation, I'd like to help with demolition. We want to get, actually, I'm hoping to start this week. We're going to take all the walls out, take the ceilings out, get ready for the renovations, right? So if you say positive, I can help, I can do this, I can do that, I want to help with demolition, I can help with the plumbing, I can help with drywall, I can help with ceilings, the flooring, please come and see me. We need all the help that we can get. Amen? Amen. Once you bow your head for a moment, please just close your eyes if you would. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed as we close the service this morning. We never, ever close a service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is right, that all is well between you and God. Dear friend, listen to me. If you are not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or do you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Well, listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, are you sure? Can you say for certain when you die, you will go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can walk out of here today and you can know that all is well, all is right between you and God, that every sin, every mistake you've ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is real. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting now, if you said, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, right now, just lift your hand up. Just lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Just lift up your hand. Here's my hand. Okay. Everyone who raised your hand, I want to ask you, please say this prayer with me. In fact, church, can let's all say this prayer together. The scripture says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this prayer with me today. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on the cross for me, to take my sin, to take my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. And so I do this today. I believe with all my heart, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You died on that cross for me. You rose from the dead. You are alive. And I ask you, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Save me, Lord. Change me. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your word says. And I thank you, Lord, because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Now, I want to say this. If you received the prophecy today, I want to let you know we have it recorded. We have the Ed sermon is on one CD and all the prophecies on the second CD. That's why I ask for your name so you can find it. You can also look at our Facebook Live video and go and watch the video on Facebook Live if you want to. But next week we're back in the Ibis room that's downstairs. We were here today.